Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here we go with the Sunday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I'm man in the booth by myself today. Believe it or not, Mr. Fantasy is at a conceal and carry class. So how frightening is that for everybody out there? But, all right, if you want to call in and talk to me, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you haven't been over there since yesterday morning, get yourself over there, check out the new blog. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I would greatly appreciate that. There's nobody else here to appreciate it, so it's just me today. But you know how that goes. Also, don't forget there's the Twitter feed, which is, come on, where's that drum roll? I don't think I have a drum roll. I think I just have a rim shot. It's at Sports Time Radio. You know that by now. I am also on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and it's BURKETIME when you're looking for me on Twitter there. So jump on over there, check that out. We can have some fun there. But, you know, normally Sunday is a two-hour format. I do not believe I will be here that long. I'm going to go over the basics. We'll do the picks. We'll do the FanDuel stuff, and then we'll get ready for football. So we'll see how long that takes us. But while we are on picks, I can tell you that last week we actually all had pretty good week. Schomburg Stu won the week at 14-2. Yeah, he was rolling. Dan and I were 11-5, and Mr. Fantasy was 10-6. So that means Dan extended his lead a little bit. He's 130-62 on the year. Mr. Fantasy is five games behind him now at 125-67. I am 124-68. And believe it or not, I am 120-72. As you know, I'm slowly but surely trying to make up ground. So I'm looking and working and trying to come up with, different ways to make up games. And I just haven't had too much luck with it. Sorry, Mr. Fantasy is sending me the pick that he forgot to send to me earlier there via text message. So you know how that is. Yeah, he sent me all his picks. He left two games off. Yeah, it just sounds like something Mr. Fantasy would do, doesn't it? But yeah, we started off the week on a down note as we all had the Saints. Well, three of us had the Saints, and Mr. Fantasy never picked. So we put that in as an L here on Sports Time Radio when I don't get your pick. But let's go ahead and get into the games here right away. The first one on our schedule has the Indianapolis Colts at the Buffalo Bills. I can tell you that Stu, Dan, and Mr. Fantasy all went with Buffalo in this game. I'm going with the Colts. It's looking more and more, and I don't know if it's been officially announced yet, but it's looking like Nathan Peterman is going to be the Bills quarterback. And I'm sure we all remember the outing he had against the Chargers, where he threw five picks in the first half, and Tyrod Taylor quickly got his job back. I just have zero confidence in Nathan Peterman's ability to go out there and win an NFL game. I think overall the Bills may be the better team, but Jacoby Brissett is a huge upgrade at quarterback compared to Peterman. So I am going to go with the Colts. I'll be, like I said, I'll be the only guy with the Colts, but again, I got to make up some ground here somewhere. So might as well do it right off the bat. All right. Our next game, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. No surprise here. We are all going with the Cowboys. So, we will see how that works out. You know how agreement works on this podcast. The more we agree on a team, the less that team actually seems to win the game. But, the Giants do have Eli back, but they also have a bad run defense and a bad pass defense. So I think the Cowboys can really take advantage of that and pick up a pick up a big win there. So, you know, we're all going to lock in on Dallas and see if we can get a W there. Right, our next game has the Detroit Lions at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Remember when these guys were in the same division in the NFC? Yeah, I don't know how many people remember that. Well, Dan the Man, Mr. Fantasy, and myself are all going to go with Detroit, and this time it is Schomburg Stu, who's going out on his own, and he's going to take Tampa Bay. You know, those picks against us worked really well for Stu last week. Hopefully his luck isn't as good this week, and I can make up some ground on him. But Matthew Stafford is going to play. You know, there were some questions with the hand injury on if he was going to do it. Now, Amir Abdullah is out for the Lions, but I believe everybody else is listed as healthy. I did read there were some issues between Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay head coach, Dirk Cutter. That's never good for the head coach when you have issues with your quarterback. You know, you're the guy who always ends up on the short end of that stick. So we'll have to see if or how that works out for Cutter. But I think the Lions, you know, Lions trying to keep those playoff hopes alive, kind of like the Cowboys. You know, these are teams that just can't lose games right now. So I think the Lions, you know, can roll into Tampa Bay and get a win. I mean, you know, Tampa's been a little up and down, so I think Detroit gets a big win here. All right, we move along here. Another early game, one of the other noon games here. We have the Oakland Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. And I believe this is our only split on the day as, I actually have this written down. I know Dan laughs at me all the time. Dan the Man and Mr. Fantasy are going with Kansas City, while Schomburg Stu and I are going with the Oakland Raiders. Now, you know, it's interesting matchup here. The Raiders get Crabtree back from his suspension, while the Chiefs lose Marcus Peterson to a suspension. It looks like there's a chance Amari Cooper can play. You know, right now he's out of concussion protocol, but he's dealing with an ankle injury. So he's still a little questionable for the game. Obviously, we'll find out as things get closer. You know, if he plays, it's even more lopsided for the Raiders because lately the Chiefs just can't stop anybody's passing attack. And with Eric Berry on the shelf injured and now Peter suspended, it sets up even more and more like this should be a game the Raiders can roll. You know, Marshawn Lynch just had his first 100-yard game. And let's face it, the Chiefs look just lost. You know, they went from what, it was 5-0 to 6-6 or 6-7. What are they? I don't even know off the top of my head. But, you know, it's just been a nightmare. And, you know, if they lose here, they'll fall a game behind the Raiders. The Raiders beat them earlier in the year in Oakland. You know, I just, you know, unless the Kansas City pass rush can get going or maybe they find that semblance of an offense again, I I had been in on Kansas City these last few weeks and it's really cost me some picks. You know, I believe that was one of the games Stu had, you know, in the loss last week to the Jets. Stu had the Jets and all of us had the Chiefs. And I really thought they would beat a Jets team, which has been playing better. But, I thought they would win. And, man, I was so wrong. They just, you know, I think the Jets put up 30 on them. And I think the Raiders have a better offense than the Jets. So you got to think the Raiders are going to get to that 30 number again. So, yeah, I went with I went with the Raiders. Again, it's Stu and I with the Raiders and Dan and Mr. Fantasy with the Chiefs. So, all right, our next game on our schedule has the San Francisco 49ers at the Houston Texans. You know, this is another – we got another 3-on-1 here. It was Stu, Dan, and Mr. Fantasy going with Houston. And, you know, I'm going to buy the 49ers here. I like the opportunity of Carlos Hyde having the possibility to go out and have a big game because Jimmy Garoppolo actually gives the 49ers a threat in the passing game. You know, the fear is always when you get these new coaches, you know, they get a little goofy and they want to be the smartest guys in the room and sometimes they overthrow when the running game is working. I'm hoping San Francisco doesn't do that today because I think Carlos Hyde really has a chance to get rolling. I think this could be a big upset for the 49ers as they look a little more confident with Garoppolo as their quarterback. So, I think they can go out and get a win. And, you know, the Texans, you know, it's kind of humorous because Tom Savage has been playing for a little while now with Deshaun Watson out. But I think most people would still tell you that Garoppolo is the better quarterback. So I'm going to kind of side that way and go with the 49ers. And, yeah, you know, on the road, I think you could call it an upset. So it's a little bit of an upset here. I think they can go in here and pull this off while everybody else is jumping on the Texans. There's just something about the game. I think San Francisco's going to get a win. So we'll see. Hopefully I'm right here. All right, we have the next game up here for us is the Green Bay Packers at the Cleveland Browns. No surprise at all here. We're all thinking the Packers to keep the Browns winless, even though I have seen quite a few people say this is the game Cleveland is going to get their win. You know, Josh Gordon came out and had a really good game, you know, for his first game back. And I don't know how many, what was it, 2 years or 2.5 years or something like that. And he was targeted more times in that game than any other Browns receiver has been all year. So at least they were smart enough to realize he's their most talented receiver and they threw him the football. There could be some more targets on the table today because they released Kenny Britt during the week. Again, I still don't think that's enough. You know, while the Packers have had their scuffles with Brett Hundley, I still think they're the better team. You know, they seem to have found something in their running game with Jamal Williams. I won't be surprised if he racks up another 100-yard game today. And, you know, if Hundley, all Hundley's got to play is just average to beat Cleveland. You know, no turnovers, you know, all that kind of stuff that goes with it there. And I think the Packers go in and win. And like I said, it was a full agreement on Green Bay getting a win today. So, again, that may be the best thing for Cleveland is the fact that we all agreed that they're going to get beat, but it really hasn't helped the Browns too much. And it'll be interesting to see if any of us take the Browns to get a win here the rest of the season. But today we're not doing that. So, all right, now we move along. We have the Chicago Bears at the Cincinnati Bengals. And I was a little surprised this was a complete agreement for us on the Bengals. I thought one of us local Chicago guys would jump out and take the Bears. Now, I knew it wouldn't be me because I don't think the Bears will win another game this season. Even when they play Cleveland. So I kind of gave away my hand there earlier. But, yeah, Cincinnati's been playing better. And let's face it, the Bears are a joke. You know, there's nothing good about this team anymore. I mean, last week they couldn't even run the football. They got one of the top running backs in the game in Jordan Howard, and they couldn't run the football. They got lucky and scored on a punt return, and everybody got excited. It was actually – you know, Tariq Cohen turned it into a terrible play, and it just happened to work out for him. So, you know, just one of those fluky things. I wouldn't expect that every time. You know, the tough part is, you know, the Bengals are going to be without Joe Mixon, who finally seemed to be coming into his own as a running back, but maybe that means Jeremy Hill is going to get back in the good graces of the team. And, of course, Giovanni Bernard is still there, so I won't be surprised if he has a big game. And, of course, the Bengals have A.J. Green, and the Bears have no way to stop him. So it really, you know, it really should be the Bengals' game to win. You know, oddly, the Bears have had some luck against these AFC North teams for whatever reason. You know, they do have wins over the Steelers and the Ravens. I don't know, maybe the Bengals are the team to break that curse, and it is a road game, so that should help the you know, the home game for the Bengals, I should say. So that should help them a little bit. But again, you know, it's one of those factors where I can't see the Bears beating them, even though the Bengals aren't anything fantastic. And I'm trying to think, what are they? They're 5-7 on the year, but they're still better than the garbage that the 3-9 Bears are. So, all right, our last early game, our last noon start here should probably be the best game of the day of the early games, and that's the Minnesota Vikings at the Carolina Panthers. Now, you know, Minnesota is trying to hold on to that, you know, part of that top seed in the NFC. They're 10-2. Carolina has a big opportunity here to pick up some ground on New Orleans that dropped the Thursday night game. A win would actually even them up at the top of the division at 8-9-4. So it's a, you know, big game both ways here. I was a little surprised when I looked at the picks and we were all in agreement on Minnesota. You know, I thought maybe somebody would go with Carolina at home, but no, we're all going with the Vikings here. You know, like I said, interestingly enough, it's humorous that now all of a sudden we're all Case Keenum backers, where, you know, throughout the year we have pretty much taken turns killing him. He just, you know, he's played better than I think any of us think he has the business playing, and you just wonder how long it continues, or, you know, any of that fun stuff. I mean, it is a difficult Carolina defense to play against. You know, they still have the top linebackers and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. But, you know, in return, obviously Minnesota's defense is no slouch. You know, they just held the Falcons, who everybody considers to be a really high scoring offense. So was it 9 points last week? You know, we'll see if Xavier Rhodes can just eliminate Devin Funchess from the Panthers offense. And if he's successful there, you know, that really limits them. I mean, Greg Olsen is back, but you got to wonder, you know, how much or what is left there. You know, he played the one game, the foot bothered him. He ended up coming out. He didn't play last week. He's back now. So, you know, we'll have to see if he can produce. You know, if Funchess is shut down, then it becomes Russell Shepard as the other guy. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart are going to pitch in. But, you know, not the weapons you kind of see across the way, where the Vikings have had success with Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray in the backfield. And then Adam Thielen has really taken over as the number one, which makes Stephon Diggs one of the better number twos hanging around out there. And then, of course, Kyle Rudolph is a quality tight end. So it really sets up here where, you know, there should be a pretty good defensive battle. I won't be surprised if it's a little bit like Minnesota's game last week and we get a 14-9 or a 17-10 type of game. But I think Minnesota comes out on top. And like I said, no surprise here, but we all think Minnesota's going to come out on top. So we will see how that works out for us. All right, let's get ourselves into the later games. There are three 3:05 games today, and the first one has the Washington Redskins at the Los Angeles Chargers. Another game we're in agreement in. We're all jumping on the Charger bandwagon. You know, they've been one of the hottest teams in football. So we're all going to kind of gravitate to them and see if we can kill that for them. You know what? They went from 0-4 to now 6-6. Their record is actually better than the Redskins, who are just 5-7 on the year. As weird as that seems, I mean, with the start the Chargers got off to, you would just kind of think, yeah, okay, they're done. But no, they're hanging around. They're actually tied with the Raiders and the Chiefs. They're all 6-6 in that goofy, you know, AFC West. And, you know, I mean, Phillip Rivers has just been, you know, fantastic. Keenan Allen has, 10 receptions, 100 yards, and one touchdown in each of his last, was it three games? It's two or three games. He's been on quite a roll. So we'll see if, you know, the Chargers can keep that going. And, you know, this is that weird thing where, you know, that weird game where the Redskins occasionally pop up and win it. So I am a little concerned here, but I think with the role the Chargers are on, I definitely think this could keep them going, and you know, they can get by the Redskins here, especially at home. Of course, it is home Los Angeles, so you know there'll probably be just as many Redskins fans there as there will be Chargers fans, because you know, even with the team playing better and winning, they just don't, you know, they just don't draw. And I don't know, it's still a bad idea to move them there, but you know, we're all going to go with the Chargers and see if they can keep their streak going, or if we buried them, which sadly could be the deal there. All right, our second 3:05 game has what I guess you got to call the surprising New York Jets, and they are at the Denver Broncos. You know, and we got a 3-on-1 situation here again, as Stu, Dan, and Mr. Fantasy are going to go with the Jets. And, I'm going to take a shot here and go with the Broncos at home. You know, if the game was in the Meadowlands, I'd probably be going the other way. But I think at home, you know, the Broncos should play with a little pride, and I'm starting to wonder what happened to this defense. You know, they had a vaunted pass rush and a fantastic defensive backfield that just pretty much disappeared. And I wonder, you know, if or how or, you know, they can get that kind of back together. So we'll have to see, but I believe they definitely, definitely can get a win here against the Jets. You know, it's just, I want to call it baffling, because when, you know, you look at the Jets, it's like, okay, you know, McCown is, you know, and quality backup NFL quarterback. Well, he's been their starter all year. He's actually played pretty well. You know, Matt, their backfield has been dinged up. If Forte's not dinged up, Bilal Powell's been dinged up. Forte is dinged up again today. And then, you know, there was the receiving core. You know, we all was wondering to see if Robbie Anderson was going to break out, and he finally did, but it took a while. And then Jermaine Kearse has put up real quality numbers. And since Austin Safari and Jenkins has been back, he's just been a really, really good tight end. So it's turned into an interesting team. And, you know, this is more the fact that I'm just kind of betting on Mile High and the Broncos. And you look at the team and, you know, they still have Demaryius Thomas. They still have Emmanuel Sanders. You wonder what the hell happened to C.J. Anderson. You know, I know they're excited to get Devonta Booker in the offense, but Anderson was rolling early in the year. So I just don't know. But it's just one of those things where I look at it, and it's more a thing of I have a hard time believing the Jets going on the road to Denver and getting a win. And I may be wrong. I've been wrong a lot this year. But I'm going to go with the Broncos and kind of call the upset there, and we'll see. All right, our final 3:05 game. And the 3:05 games all start on CBS, in case you're wondering. That's why their 3:05 starts. We have the Tennessee Titans at the Arizona Cardinals. And, again, a little surprise here is we're all in agreement. We're all taking Tennessee to win this game. I thought somebody might take a shot with the Cardinals at home. You know, I was on the Cardinal bandwagon last week, and they really just choked. They had a fantastic opportunity to beat the Rams, and when it came down to it, they couldn't come through. You know, and that was obviously, a division game. It had a lot of meaning to it. This is a nothing game. There's no reason they shouldn't come out completely flat against the Tennessee team and pretty much get run over. You know, Adrian Peterson is out on offense. I know Patrick Peterson is dinged up on defense. My one point of interest or point of possible Cardinal victory here is they're really good at stopping the run, and Tennessee is not a fantastic passing team. So if it continues on and you make Marcus Mariota have to throw the ball to beat you, there may be an outside shot for Arizona to win this game. I'm not buying it here. You know, Tennessee, another team that really can't afford to lose a game because the way the playoff situation is setting up, you know, for them, they need to continue to get wins. I'll probably stay away from the Tennessee running game when we get to the FanDuel section. But I still think they go out to Arizona and they get a win. So I'm going to go with Tennessee. We're all going to go with Tennessee, and we'll see how it works out. All right, now we move on to 3:25 starts. These, of course, are the Fox games, and you know, a lot of really the two games listed here are just fantastic. We get the Philadelphia Eagles at the Los Angeles Rams. Now, you know, the Eagles are 10-2. They're looking for that number one seed in the NFC along with the Vikings. The Rams are 9-3 right behind them, so it's a battle of division leaders here. Looking at the picks, we're all going with the Eagles. Yeah, or no, wait, I got that wrong. Actually, myself, Mr. Fantasy, and Dan the Man are going with the Eagles, and Schomburg Stu is going with the home team. He's going with the Rams. You know, the Eagles stayed in California all week, you know, after their game last week against Seattle. And, you know, so that should help with the time change, even though I remember correctly, east to west isn't as bad as west to east because of the earlier starts. So yeah, I just, I'm trying to figure out if we're going to get a 38-35 game or if we're going to get like a 21-20 game. You look at the offenses from these teams and you think, oh, okay, we can really put up some numbers. But you got to remember, both these teams have really good defenses as well. So I don't quite know what kind of a game we're going to get. A little concern on the Eagles side is Zach Ertz hasn't been cleared to play yet. He was in concussion protocol. He's been listed as questionable. So I don't know if, he's going to be available. I mean, obviously that would be a gigantic hole in the Eagles offense. I mean, Brett Celek is still I would, let's call him an average tight end. I'm not going to go any more than that, but Ertz has had a fantastic year. He's finally put up the year people thought he would. And then on the Rams side, it looks like they're going to have to go without Robert Woods again. So, we're a couple key pieces missing here. It'd be fantastic if we get a really good game and, the Eagles would win it, because then I could pick up another game on Sean McStew. But just looking for, a good game. So yeah, again, myself, Mr. Fantasy, and Dan like the Eagles, and Stu likes the Rams. But hey, are we getting a an NFC Conference Championship preview here with this game? Yeah, you never know. All right, our next 3:25 game here. We have the Seattle Seahawks on the road this week. They are at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Couple of 8-4 teams here. We got another 3-on-1 setup. This time, Mr. Fantasy is the only guy out on his own, as he likes the Jaguars. As Stu, Dan, and myself are going with the Seahawks. Now, if you remember last week, Mr. Fantasy picked against the Seahawks before and ate it. So hopefully that will continue on, and we will see. But yeah, Russell Wilson running up against a good defense here in Jacksonville. Seattle still no real semblance of a running game, but you just never know what's going to happen with the Seahawks. They seem to find ways to, to win these games, and hopefully that's another continuation today. Maybe Jimmy Graham has another big game. And the Seahawks, again, another team that can't really afford a loss. They're chasing the Rams. They're a game behind the Rams. So if the Rams were to lose and the Seahawks could find a win, they would be even up. And the Seahawks have won the first head-to-head meeting. They're going to have another one. So right now the Seahawks hold that tiebreaker. But again, you're looking at a setup, and the Jaguars are in the same situation. 8-4, tied with Tennessee. But I think Tennessee won their first matchup. So, neither one of these teams, looking to get at a loss there. I think if Jacksonville was to lose, I think they're a little more solid at possibly grabbing an AFC wild card. But Seattle, a loss could really put them on the outside here. So we'll have to see how it shakes out. But I think Seattle's got enough to win here. That veteran experience, still a lot of guys from that Super Bowl team hanging around there, even with the injuries, perennial playoff team. So I think they're good enough to go into Jacksonville and get a win, but I won't be surprised if it's one of those, goofy 12-10 Seattle wins or 13-10, where everybody's relying on field goals. So it's definitely a possibility. It could be one of those games. All right, and then we jump into the Sunday night game, and this week we get an AFC North battle. The Baltimore Ravens, who've been playing much better as of late, they're actually 7-5 now. I think they've won 4 out of their last 5. Taking on the division leaders, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 10-2. We're in Pittsburgh for this, so that's a big plus, because Roethlisberger always seems to play better at home. But pick-wise, Mr. Fantasy again going out on his own. He's going with the Ravens, while the rest of us are on the Steeler bandwagon. So we'll have to see if we can get a couple games up on Mr. Fantasy there with what is going on. But yeah, I mean, you've got to expect it to be another, in your face kind of AFC North battle that we had with the Bengals and the Steelers. Last week, the Steelers obviously playing now without Juju Smith-Schuster, who is suspended. You know, it looks like the Ravens are possibly going to be without Jeremy Maclin. I know he's been questionable. He hasn't produced much this year anyways. But oddly, as of late, Mike Wallace has really come on for them. So we'll have to, you know, have to see if or how that kind of works out for them. But, you know, I definitely think at home the Steelers get the win. If it was in Baltimore, maybe it would be a little different story. But I like the Steelers to pick up a win at home here. And, again, everybody going with the Steelers except Mr. Fantasy. He's riding that Raven train, and we'll see if that works out for him. But let's hope it does not. We can actively root against him, right? There's nothing wrong with that. All right, let's wrap up our picks here with the Monday night game, which features the New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. And no real surprise here. We all have the Patriots. Yeah, that's not a shock. I saw that Damian Williams has already been ruled out for the Dolphins, but Kenny Drake had some success running the football. So you got to wonder if the Dolphins can keep that up. You know, they're coming off a big time beat down of the Broncos, and believe it or not, the Dolphins are actually 5-7. I don't know if there's a lot of people out there who actually know that they've been doing a little better than I think people thought, especially with the loss of Ryan Tannehill. So we'll have to see how it goes. But yeah, like I said, to no real shock or surprise or anything, we are all taking the Patriots. So yeah, there you go. Let me, I know we normally don't do this on Sundays, but since it is just me, let's go through and kind of recap picks, I guess you would call it. We've got Stu Dan and Mr. Fantasy going with Buffalo. I like Indy in that game. We all got Dallas to beat the Giants. Dan, Mr. Fantasy, and myself have Detroit, while Stu is going with Tampa Bay. We're split 50-50 with Stu and I taking the Raiders and Dan and Mr. Fantasy going with Kansas City. Stu, Dan, and Mr. Fantasy like the Texans, while I am going to go out and take the 49ers. We're all in agreement that Green Bay will beat the Browns. We're also all in agreement that Cincinnati will beat the Bears. As we continue on the agreement train, we all have the Vikings to beat the Panthers. We all like the Chargers to beat the Redskins. Then we go to 3-on-1 again as Stu, Dan, and Mr. Fantasy are going with the Jets. Well, I'm going to take a chance and jump on the Broncos and see if I can get a little bit of an upset there. We're all in agreement as we have Tennessee beating Arizona. Then Dan, Mr. Fantasy, and myself like the Eagles. Schomburg Stu has the Rams in that game. Then it's Stu, Dan, and myself taking the Seahawks while Mr. Fantasy is going with Jacksonville. Then we have Stu, Dan, and myself again in agreement going with the Steelers while Mr. Fantasy is going to take the Ravens. And then to wrap up the picks for the week, we are all going to go with New England. So, all right, while I get my FanDuel stuff and everything set up, we're going to take our general intermission that I always take when I am on my own. So, don't yell at me because it's Cubs music. Just remember, it's the only thing I have that's longer than a minute to play. So we got to deal with it.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago.
we go. We got ourselves refreshed and ready to try to piece together some FanDuel success here, and we'll we'll see how that works out. You know, it's been a bit of a down year for me as far as FanDuel has worked. So we'll have to see if we can if we can get something a little better today. I don't know, just kind of how my year has went, but we shall see. Maybe today is the day we get a bit of a bounce back. But all right, as normal, we start off at quarterback, and we have the top five here. We got Carson Wentz on top of the board for $8,600. Alex Smith is next at $8,200. Philip Rivers at $81,000. Matthew Stafford at $8,000. And then there's a slew of guys here at $7,700. You're looking at Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, Derek Carr, Cam Newton, and Dak Prescott, all at that $7,700 category there. I went a little off the reservation, I guess you could say, as today goes, and I'm taking a shot, and I'm going to go with Jacoby Brissett today against the Bills. Buffalo has had kind of an up and down year. I like obviously Brissett can run the football. That I think that's a big plus. But even against a team like Jacksonville last week, he put up just over 12.5 points, and they're one of the better defenses in the league. The Bills' defense has had their issues, and I just think, I think it's a really good money-saving opportunity at quarterback because, you just never know from week to week who's going to end up lighting it up. So I like this play here. I think there's an opportunity to really jump on here and catch a guy who's gonna possibly get hot here. So that's where I went. Yeah, see how it works out for me. But let's throw out some other numbers here. I know they have Tyrod Taylor listed. He's at $7,600 with Josh McCown. There's Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota for $7,500. Mariota could be an interesting play because it's possible they may have to throw the football a little more. Blake Bortles is at $7,400. Seattle's still a tough defense. Andy Dalton's down here at $7,300. That could be a matchup you like against the Bears. You got Jameis Winston at $7,200. Then there's Jimmy Garoppolo at $7,000. We run into the guys that are under that. Brett Hundley's down here at $6,900. Then there's Mitchell Trubisky and Blaine Gabbert at $6,600. DeShone Kizer is at $6,400. And I got to find the other guys. Nate Peterman, who looks to be getting the start, is at $6,100. And did I miss anybody? Are there any $6,000 quarterbacks today? Let's get Tom Savage. There we go. Got Tom Savage at $6,000 if you'd like to try to save some money there and kind of build around that. And I believe that is a little bit of a surprise that Eli is down here at $6,000. I know the Giants aren't much offensively, but you would think Eli would be a little more than that. Trevor Siemian is down here at $6,000 as well. So, there are, if you want to take some shots down there, you could see what possibly could go on there. But, that's what I want. Like I said, I went with Jacoby Brissett for $6,700, and hopefully it works out for me. All right, let's go ahead and get into the running backs here. Our top five are LeSean McCoy, who's going to cost you $9,000. Melvin Gordon at $8,600. You got Todd Gurley at $85. Leonard Fournette at $83. And Kareem Hunt rounds out the top five at $7,200. I actually stayed in the top five for one of my picks. I went with Melvin Gordon. Like I said, the Chargers have been really hot. So I jumped on board there, and I'm going to try to get in and hope he has a you know, 100-yard day. He's been getting the carries, but not the yardages of late. So I'm hoping he kind of racks something up there for me, and I can reap the benefits there. But I like Gordon against Washington today. I know they can be tough against the run, but you know, I think in a game like this, Gordon has a chance to really put up some numbers. You know, and then for my second guy, I went with what you would call the hot guy. I went with Jamal Williams of the Packers for $6,600. You know, he's coming off back-to-back 100-yard games. I don't know when the last time you could say that in Packer. Or no, wait, it was just one, sorry. But last week, 21 carries, 113 yards, had the touchdown, 19.3 yards coming off a week before that where he was 27.5. You know, I would gladly take something in between, and it's $6,700. You know, against the Cleveland team, I definitely think he is – he's worth the risk to plug in and take a shot there. So that's where I went with running back. Some of the other names on the board, you know, Jordan Howard's at $7,000 if the Bears realize that he's a running back. Alfred Morris and Christian McCaffrey are at $6,800. Now, I can tell you, I believe the Giants have the worst rushing defense in the NFL if you want to buy Alfred Morris. Carlos Hyde is at $6,700, and I've heard all morning that he's the guy to be playing. So maybe you're on that bandwagon. $6,600, you got Samaje Perina of the Redskins and Lamar Miller of the Texans. You know, I've seen a couple guys who like Miller, but apparently this is supposed to be a down week for Perina. Marshawn Lynch coming off that 100-yard game and Latavius Murray are both at $6,400. Orleans Darkwa is $6,300, but he is questionable, so check in on him if you're going that route. Doug Martin is back for Tampa Bay if you're buying that running game at $6,100. $6,000, we find Jerick McKinnon, Derrick Henry, and DeMarco Murray. Now, Arizona is really good against the run, so I don't know if you want Henry or Murray. But if you think McKinnon is the guy today, hey, you know, good luck there. Duke Johnson is at $5,900. He really seems to be the Cleveland running back that puts up FanDuel points. LeGarrette Blount, Devontae Booker, and Jay Ajayi are all $5,800. You know, if you'd like to drop in on one of those guys. Now, they have Amir Abdullah here is questionable. I heard he was out this morning, so if you're going with him for $5,700, you make sure you double-check that. The other $5,700 guys are both Jets. You got Matt Forte, who I know is dinged up with a knee, but looks like he's going to play. And then Bilal Powell is the other $5,700 guy. You can find Theo Reddick at $5,600, and if Abdullah is out, you would think that would upgrade Riddick a little bit, so maybe you're into that. Detroit isn't great running the football, but Riddick is a big contributor in the passing game. A lot of guys at $5,500. There's Isaiah Crowell, C.J. Anderson, Frank Gore, Peyton Barber, and Mike Davis. You know, if you're in there, I mean, I keep hoping Anderson is going to do something, but he just hasn't. And believe it or not, Frank Gore still averages 9 FanDuel points a game. So, you know, maybe you're on board there. Let's find some other names here as we go down the board. Tariq Cohen is at $5,400 if you're buying the Bears offense today. Marlon Mack and Rod Smith are also $5,400. They're both contributors in their offense. I don't know if either of them will get the majority of the carries, but they are both contributors. $5,300, we got Andre Ellington, who looks to be Arizona's number one with Peterson out. Austin Eckler, who always chips in with the Chargers. Jonathan Stewart, again, you know, another contributor. And then Corey Clement, who's been getting carries there for the Eagles, too. They're all $5,300 guys. So, maybe there's somebody you like. You know, is it going to be one of those days where one of them puts up some big numbers? You know, you just don't know. But, you know, they're money-saving options if you're looking that route. Now, at $5,100, we have Eddie Lacy. Again, you just never know what you're going to get out of that Seattle running game. But Giovanni Bernard is down here. And, you know, normally it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, he's the pass receiving back or however it works out. But I mentioned Joe Mixon is out. And, you know, Jeremy Hill has been dinged up with that ankle. I think he might even be on IR. So it may be the Giovanni Bernard show today. This could be a big, big-time steal down here for $5,100 if that Bengals offense gets rolling. I would definitely check into their backfield. Let me see if I can actually do that now while we're talking. I'll go ahead and jump on Dan's favorite search engine there, Bing. We'll Bing up the Bengals depth chart and see who's listed at running back here. I don't know if they have how updated they have it, but yeah, they have Joe Mixon 1, Giovanni Bernard 2, and Brian Hill at number 3. He's a rookie out of Wyoming, so I'm assuming he's probably one of the cheaper guys on the board there. But yeah, I mean, you start looking, you know, Bernard should be the running game today. That could be a big deal there. Let's keep moving down. I mentioned Ellington in Arizona. Kerwin Williams put up some numbers last week, I believe, for them. You know, Ellington was always more of the receiving guy. Williams did have 97 yards last week, put up 9.7 FanDuel points. You know, you'd probably be pretty happy with that at 5,000. Wayne Gallman is down here too. If Darkwa is out, he becomes the number one for the Giants. Matt Breida, 4,900. He's another one of those guys. He contributes, you know, for San Francisco. So if you think maybe today's the day he's going to pop one off, you know, maybe you go that route. I have to look. I'm guessing he's a $4,500 guy, but I just want to see what they, yeah, they have Brian Hill listed at $4,500. So if you're thinking maybe he's gonna grab the bulk of the carries or something there for Cincinnati today, because, you know, Bernard is, again, he's more of a pass receiving guy. You know, that could be, you know, again, if you're willing to take that shot. I think I do have Giovanni Bernard in a free roll I'm doing. So I went that route, but of course that doesn't mean you have to. But yeah, just quickly, I went with Melvin Gordon for 8,600 and Jamal Williams for 6,600 at running back. So we can move over to wide receiver. This week it's DeAndre Hopkins on top of the board at 8,600. The super hot Keenan Allen at 8,400. AJ Green at 83. Tyreek Hill will cost you 7,800. And then Robbie Anderson into the top five at 7,700. The first guy I went with A.J. Green for $8,300. You know, again, it's, you know, he's the top, you know, the top guy. The Bears really don't have a way to stop him. He should go out and have an opportunity to just put up fantastic numbers. So that's the first guy I went with for $8,300. Then I plugged in Larry Fitzgerald for $7,600. You know, the guy just, you know, he just keeps getting catches and putting up numbers. And remember, for, you know, they kept talking about he needs to retire, he's going to retire. Well, you know, last week he had 10 targets. He caught all of them. 20.8 FanDuel points because he racked up a touchdown as well. You know, I don't, you know, like, I wouldn't expect numbers like that today. But if he gets his average for me, 13, that's a pretty solid play there. And I think he has definitely an opportunity to do that. And then for my last wide receiver spot, I went with Michael Crabtree for $7,100. You know, combination of things here. You know, Crabtree, you got to figure, is going to want to really produce because he's coming off suspension. And then, of course, Kansas City's pass defense is just ridiculously bad. So it seems like the perfect combination for a guy to have big, big numbers. Then you add in the fact that, you know, Amari Cooper is questionable with that ankle. And, you know, Crabtree just kind of surfaces, and man, he gets his targets. He gets about 12 targets a game. So I'm willing to take that into consideration. I think it's 7,100. He could be a fantastic play, but let's jump down here. We'll look at some of the other guys we got going on. We started 7,500. Adam Thielen is here. You know, he's had a fantastic year. I can understand if you're buying Thielen. $7,400, you're paying for Doug Baldwin or Alshon Jeffries. Not sure if it's a good day for either guy, but, yeah, you know, everybody has their reasons. Mike Evans is at $7,300, but I was hearing all morning that it's a bad day to play him. Dez Bryant at 72, you know, the Giants do struggle on defense. You know, Dez had kind of sort of a reinvigorating game last week. Maybe he keeps that going this week and you like him. Devin Funchess at $7,100. Now, you know, terrible matchup for him. You know, Xavier Rhodes will shadow him all over the field today. So it could be interesting, but then it could also be really ugly. $7,000 you're paying for Amari Cooper or Marvin Jones Jr. If you're down here, you know, you got to think Jones is the better choice just because Cooper is just so dinged up. $6,900, you got T.Y. Hilton, Devonta Adams, and Robert Woods. Now, you know, Woods is still, again, he's questionable, so you got to check in on all this. You know, Adams is Brett Hundley's favorite target, so, you know, you may want to go that route there. But T.Y. Hilton has been, you know, a little up and down, kind of like that entire Colts offense. $6,800, you find Jamison Crowder, Golden Tate, and Stephon Diggs. Interestingly, Tate and Diggs were supposed to be their team's number ones, but they've really kind of taken a back seat to other receivers. I believe Tate has better numbers because Diggs was dinged up a little bit there. But, you know, could be some value there. And, you know, Crowder's kind of a downfield touchdown threat if you're buying the fact that he's going to get one of those. Now, you know, we talked about it earlier, Josh Gordon. He's at $6,700. They targeted him 11 times last week, caught four balls for 85 yards, put up 10.5 FanDuel points. I think he did a lot better than Mr. Fantasy and I thought he was going to do last week. So maybe he keeps that going today, or, you know, at least gets close to that again. So $6,600 is just Marquise Lee by himself. I don't know if you want him against the Seattle defense. You know, obviously they're missing some guys, but the defense is still pretty good. DeSean Jackson at $6,500. This was the Tampa Bay guy they said that they think is going to have the breakout game. You know, Evans, they said Detroit has one cornerback who's probably going to stay on Evans all day. So Jackson should be the guy to go with. So if you're looking to go to Tampa Bay, maybe you go with DeSean Jackson today. $6,400. You got Cooper Kupp and Sterling Shepard. Shepard is questionable with a hamstring, so double check into that if you're going that route. And I heard somebody say this morning that Kupp is just a terrible play against the Eagles defense, so maybe you just want to stay away from both of them. $6,300, you can find Sammy Watkins, Demaryius Thomas, and Jermaine Kearse. You know, Kearse has been a bit of a surprise this year. You know, he's putting up really good numbers for the Jets, while Thomas, you know, he's been average or a little below, probably below for his standards, but average wise as a receiver. And, you know, if you get Watkins on the right day, he can give you huge numbers. So, you know, an interesting group there. $6,200, we got Nelson Aguilar. You know, again, another guy that if you get him, you know, if you get him on the right day, he gets you a really long touchdown, you're okay. If not, well, then you're done. Emmanuel Sanders is at $6,100. They haven't listed as questionable, so, you know, just definitely check that out. They are reporting that he will play, but you got to wonder how dinged up he is and, you know, if it's going to be worth it there. Rashidi Matthews is back for Tennessee. He's their true number one, $6,000. You know, again, I mentioned during picks, Arizona can stop the run. So if Tennessee has to throw the football, you know, Matthews could possibly be a big guy. And, you know, at $6,000, that could be a steal. $5,900, we find Kelvin Benjamin, Jordy Nelson, and Paul Richardson. You have to describe Benjamin and Nelson as disappointments. You know, Benjamin just never really lived up to it. And Nelson without Aaron Rodgers is a pedestrian receiver. Paul Richardson, on the other hand, a nice surprise. So, you know, if you're down here spending this kind of money, he may be the way to go. $5,700, you find Marquise Goodwin and Corey Coleman. Goodwin, again, a home run hitter, track guy. You know, if you think he's going to hit one, you know, then you're on. And, you know, again, if you're not, you're looking at getting just minimal points from him. You know, Gordon obviously going to get the majority of the targets, but with Kenny Britt gone, it may open something up for Coleman. You know, if he's willing to work underneath, there could be points there for him. I just don't know if there's going to be enough. 5,600, you find Corey Davis and Josh Doctson. Again, if Tennessee has to throw the ball, this could be an opportunity for Davis. Doctson against San Diego, I'm just not sure. Will Fuller is back at $5,400 along with Albert Wilson. Fuller, he's been a monster when he's played. You know, the problem, of course, has just been keeping him on the field. You know, he had that rib problem. He tried to play, didn't produce, missed two or three games. But he's back now. If you're buying that he's healthy, $5,400 could be a nice number for him. Then at $5,300, we find Terrence Williams and Brandon LaFell. Williams has been producing a little more for the Cowboys. It's hard to buy him. But LaFell, now with John Ross on IR, it could open up a spot for LaFell as the number two guy in Cincinnati. $5,300 could be decent numbers for him. Then at $5,200, we find Dontrell Inman, Tyler Lockett, and Dede Westbrook. Inman is the Bears' true number one. If you think they're going to get enough opportunities for him, he could be a point producer at $5,200. You know, Lockett a little bit of up and down. You know, you just never know. I mean, it could be the day he gets you 15 points, could be the day he gets you 5. So it's just a tough call there. But Westbrook has been a nice surprise. He's played 3 weeks now since Hearns and Robinson. Well, Robinson's been out longer, but since Hearns has been out, had his best week last week, 6 catches, 78 yards, 10.8 FanDuel points. But again, he is going up against Seattle. So you've got to kind of make that decision there, but he could be a sneaky surprise. And then, let's just kind of start plucking some names out of there. Kenny Galladay was big early. The injury really seemed to slow him down. He's at $5,100. Roger Lewis is at $5,000. And, you know, it's that situation where someone is going to catch the ball for the Giants. If Sterling Shepard doesn't play, it should move Lewis up the board. I don't know. You know, that would be a big gamble there. I mean, if you're going to spend the $5,000, I'd probably go with Cole Beasley, who's also $5,000, and Dallas should have a little more success throwing the ball against the Giants than vice versa. So we'll see. You know, Randall Cobb, another Packer receiver who's fallen, he's down here at $5,000. $4,900, maybe you like Tyrell Williams today. He's down here with Russell Shepard, who is going to get the start for Carolina. He's the other guy. Plucking some more names out of here. You know, Eric Decker, again, there's a possibility Tennessee may have to throw the ball a little more. So, you know, $4,800, that could make Decker an interesting little play there. Kendall Wright of the Bears is at $4,700. He gets his targets. So, if he could manage to get into the end zone, it would be a huge play. But that's one of those things. That's a big, big gamble. I give you credit if you're taking that gamble. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, it doesn't look like there's too many more names floating down here. Just let me cruise down the list and see who I can find, or if something pops up. You know, there are always the fun names that, Zay Jones is down here at $4,500. Maybe you think he's going to pop off and do a little something today with good old Nate Peterman at quarterback. We'll have to see how that one works out. Oh yeah. Michael Floyd still is in the league. I keep forgetting he's a Viking. Boy, he really kind of fell off the map after being a big time breakout guy for the Cardinals. That just really did not work out. I know some people like Lewis Murphy because he's used to working with Garoppolo. He's down here at $5,400 or $4,500. Again, a lot of big chances. There are some names you recognize. You know, Tyler Boyd, Rashad Higgins. They're down here at $4,500. But I'm not really seeing any numbers out of those guys. If you're that kind of gambler, I give you all the credit in the world, because I certainly couldn't do it. But good luck if you can. More power to you. But all right, let's jump over to our tight end spot, and we see Travis Kelce on top of the board at $8,000. Zach Ertz at 7,800, Jimmy Graham at 69, Delaney Walker and Evan Ingram at $6,600 round out the top five. Remember, I got to warn you with Ertz, he is questionable because of that concussion. It's a later game, so, you know, what the reports they're saying here is he's going to be evaluated prior to the game. But right now, Adam Schefter, you know, the big-time NFL guy for the Mickey Mouse Network, is reporting that he is unlikely to play. So take that into consideration when you're building your lineup there. What I did, you know, I like that quarterback-receiver matchup. So since I went with Jacoby Brissett, I'm going with Jack Doyle as my tight end for $5,400. I like the pair up there. It's just a good deal. I'm hoping Doyle has another double-digit catch day for me. All right, so we roll down the board here. $6,000, you can get Kyle Rudolph, you know, always a quality performer. Might be a bigger factor today against a tough Carolina defense. Sometimes the tight ends step up in those type of situations. So, you know, possible maybe it's Rudolph's day for just $6,000. $5,900 is Austin Safarian Jenkins. You know, he's done really well for the Jets. He'd done even better if those touchdowns wouldn't have been taken away from him. I think he's lost two this year on ref calls. So, you know, there's a possibility there. He could, have another solid game for you. And, you know, at $5,900, you know, there's been some surprises in that Jets offense, and he's definitely been one of them. So, you know, there could be a little something there for you. $5,800, you got, here you go, some veteran names here. Jason Witten, Vernon Davis, and Greg Olsen. Now, they are saying Olsen is going to play. He does have the foot thing. Jordan Reed is out, so Davis becomes a much bigger guy. And then Jason Witten just continues to put up his numbers. So I think, you know, all three could be really good choices. Save yourself a little money. You know, spend it somewhere else. So, you know, definitely a possibility there. $5,700, we have Jared Cook. You know, I think a lot depends on what Amari Cooper's status is, but even with both Crabtree and Cooper out last week, Cook only had one reception. He was only targeted five times. You know, I just don't think he had that one really big game weeks ago, but ever since then it's been downhill, and I don't think he's a Derek Carr target. So I would be hard pressed to plug him in, especially at $5,700. I think the two guys below him here, or actually a few of these guys below him, but Tyler Croft and Hunter Henry are $5,600. I think they're both better plays and they're both in better situations. Especially today, you know, the Croft has the Bears who don't have a shutdown type of defense. And then Henry has the Redskins. So it's definitely a better situation. I mean, you can just keep rolling down the board here. Even the $5,400 guys that I didn't pick, Charles Clay always gets his targets for the Bills. And with Jameis Winston at quarterback, Cameron Brate becomes a really big value tight end because he's really Winston's safety blanket. And especially around the goal line, Winston likes to go to him. That makes him a fantastic play at tight end. And like I said, Clay is, you know, the Bills receivers have stunk. So Clay is really, when he's healthy, he's their guy. So, yeah, I mean, there's just, you know, I would go with any of those four guys over Jared Cook. And I actually went with another one, the fifth guy, $5,400 for Jack Doyle. All right, let's see what we got. $5,200, we got Eric Ebron. You know, we're never high on Detroit tight ends here. So, you know, it's tough to go that route. $5,100 is O.J. Howard and George Kittle. Howard, of course, gets downgraded because Winston is back. Kittle, I thought he looked like he was going to start to kind of surface as a tight end who could be playable, but then he got hurt. And, he only missed the 1 week, but he hasn't bounced back yet. So it makes it tough to plug him in. $5,000, you can get Adam Shaheen of the Bears or Ed Dixon of the Panthers. Dixon, of course, downgraded because Olsen's back. Shaheen does get his targets, but he hasn't had a breakout game. So it's tough to call there. $4,800, you got Darren Fells of the Lions, Mercedes Lewis of the Jaguars, or Richard Rodgers of the Packers. You know, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in Rodgers' production. I thought he would be more of a contributor once Martellus Bennett got shipped off, but he's really done nothing. I mean, he's not even worth a look. Fells gets goal line targets. If you think he's going to get a touchdown, he's a great play. You know, that's the thing, though. Is he going to get that touchdown? You know, Lewis, he's been a little more of a factor since the wide receiver injuries, but he still hasn't been, you know, up there, off charts kind of deal. $4,700 here. My guy David Njoku popped up a couple hundred bucks. Did he catch a touchdown last week? Is that why? I thought I saw he had something there. Yeah, he did. He had a touchdown last week. 4 receptions, 74 yards and a TD. Put up 15.4 FanDuel points. So that got him out of the $4,500 tight end range, which is where we're headed now. And we find the man, you know, a bit of a myth now as far as fantasy tight ends go, but Ricky Seals-Jones, he had two fantastic weeks, came back to earth a little bit, 5.4 FanDuel points last week. He did have 5 targets, though, so if he gets a few more catches, there could be a little addition there. You know, we'll have to see. We'll have to check on him again, keep up with him. Now, Niles Paul is healthy for the Redskins. He'll be their number 2 tight end. You know, he has had those games where he's put up surprising numbers. So, you know, you gotta kind of keep an eye out for that. Maybe if you spent a lot of money and you've loaded up, he could be one of those $4,500 tight ends that has a little bit of a day for you, and he's worth the money. So, you know, he would be a guy I would look at. The rest of the guys, I'm not sure. There's some names. You know, Ryan Hewitt against the Bears becomes interesting. Jermaine Gresham was bigger early in the year, but has now fallen off because of Seals-Jones production. You know, there are the Denver tight ends, which for, you know, Virgil Green and what is it? Is it Austin Derby? Is that his name? I haven't ran into him yet. But yeah, it's hard to sell anybody on, you know, those type of guys. You know, Deion Sims is down here with the Bears, but, you know, it's just there's just not enough production. Where you may steal it today at $4,500 is if Ertz doesn't play, Brent Celek is down here at $4,500. All right, and, you know, those Ertz targets are going to go somewhere. You know, they might as well go to Celek. You know, I think the last time Ertz was out, Celek had 3 catches for 39 yards. Now it's just 5.4 FanDuel points. But you're only spending $4,500 on him. You could reallocate that other money someplace else. So it's one of those things that maybe it could pay off for you in the right way. So, you know, the other guy, Tyler Higbee, is down here at $4,500. He's the Rams starter, but he's not a huge contributor. And then, believe it or not, Antonio Gates has finally fallen down to the $4,500 mark. You know, Hunter Henry has really kind of claimed the job, and that's kind of how it worked out there. But yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I went with Jack Doyle for $5,400. Kickers, real quick. The leg is at the top of the board for $5,200. Jake Elliott is next at 51. You get Matt Prater for $5,000. And then some guys locked up here at $4,800. Steven Hauschka, Graham Gano, Dan Bailey, Harrison Butker, and Mason Crosby. I went with the game. You know, I had mentioned during the picks that I thought the Seattle-Jacksonville game could really become a field goal game. So what I did is I went down my lineup and, you know, I went down to the bottom of FanDuel and I worked my way up and I found out that the cheapest kicker in that game is Blair Walsh of Seattle for $4,600. So I went with Blair Walsh, for $4,600. I just figured it was the best way to go about that. And I realized as I was doing my lineup here, I put the wrong defense in. So I have to go in and switch that while we're moving over to the defensive board. So, all right. Believe it or not, the Bills are on top today at $5,300. I don't know if I buy that one, but good luck if you're going that route. Jacksonville at $5,200, the Chargers at $5,100. The Packers at $5,000 and the Seahawks at $49,000. I went with the Cincinnati Bengals for $4,600. I don't have a ton of confidence in the Chicago Bears offense, so I figured it was a really good get there for $4,600. I think they have the opportunity to put up some huge numbers. You know, more on the scoring defense setup and things like that. You know, to Trubisky's positive, he hasn't really been turning the football over, so that's a big plus for him. And I am waiting for my lineup to enter so I can recap it for you, but I think I can do it here. My quarterback is Jacoby Brissett. I paid $6,700 for him. My running backs are Melvin Gordon and Jamal Williams. I paid $8,600 for Gordon and $6,600 for Jamal Williams. My wide receivers are A.J. Green, Larry Fitzgerald, and Michael Crabtree. I paid $8,300 for Green, $7,600 for Fitzgerald, and $7,100 for Crabtree. My tight end is Jack Doyle, who I paid $5,400 for. Oddly, I paid $4,600 for my kicker, Blair Walsh, and my defense, the Cincinnati Bengals. So there you go. That's what I'm going with on FanDuel today, and we'll see how it works out, or if it works out, or hopefully it works out. You know, those fun things we get to do. But I got to notice that I have an injured guy in my lineup, so I have to go through and find him on one of my wonderful fantasy football teams and get him out of my damn lineup, so I don't take take the big zero. So we shall see how that works out for me. But yeah, you know, we got through our stuff. Not too bad. You know, I was a little afraid that it would take it would be shorter than this, but we, you know, hour 15 minutes, not too bad. We're doing, we're doing okay then. So I think we can, run away and hide now. We got done what we wanted to get done. So let me hunt up my music and say goodbye, and we will see you tomorrow.